Today I have a question for you. Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like, what did you get yourself into? You didn't have the right experience or the right skill set? Well, I know I have, and you probably have too. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Okay, today we're going to continue with the series, The Manifestation of Your Life Mission. Rick is showing us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to do, we don't have to run away from it. We can actually run toward it. This is such a good message, and I hope you'll invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how we can live according to the purpose and plan that He has for us. Now let's hear what Rick has to say today in part one of a message called, What to Do When It Feels Hopeless.
Now, in the first session, I told you that there are three ways we learn. We learn by experience, we learn by explanation, and we learn by example. Without a doubt, the easiest way to learn is by example. Then you don't have to make all the mistakes yourself. You can learn from successful examples, you can actually learn from failures. You can learn from good examples, and you can learn from bad examples. We're going to take the book of Jonah and learn from a bad example, who later turned around and actually eventually got it right, of a guy who was given a mission from God, and he went the other way. God said, go. Jonah said, no. And God said, oh. And that's the whole story of Jonah. God has a life mission for your life. This is the most important thing in your life, to know your life mission. You don't want to go through life, stand before God and on judgment day, and God goes, well, did you fulfill the mission that I gave you on this earth? You go, oh, I didn't even know I had one. You think you were put on this earth to live for yourself? Really? No. God has a much bigger cause, purpose, goal, mission for your life than for you to just make money, retire, and die. Oh, no. You're not here for something that small. God has a life mission for every life. Now, today, we know that Jonah, we're looking chapter 2, ran from his life mission. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria, and I want you to tell this message to these people. It's 550 miles to the east of where he lived in Israel. Jonah goes the exact opposite direction, as far away from God's mission for his life as he could. He gets on board a boat and heads for Tarshish, which is a seaport on the coast of Spain. It's 2,500 miles the opposite direction. And last week, we looked at 10 lessons you can learn about your life mission. But when you run from God, everything goes downhill. It creates all kinds of problems. And we looked at the problems that happened in his life. It was all down, 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 down. He gets on board a ship. It gets involved in a big storm in the Mediterranean. The soldiers throw him overboard. The sailors throw him overboard. And he gets swallowed up by this great fish. Now, remember, I told you last week, the word whale is not in this story. You've all heard all your life that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Well, first place, a whale's not a fish. A whale is a mammal. And God knows the difference. Could have been a whale, but the sailors wouldn't have known that he was a mammal. But a lot of scientists think that maybe it was the largest fish in the ocean, which is actually called a whale shark. And I showed you a picture of a typical whale shark. Here's what that looks like compared to a bus. Maybe not. Oh, there we go. Compared to that's a whale shark. They're typically about 40 feet long. That bus could hold 80 passengers. That whale shark could hold one man. And whale sharks are totally harmless to humans because they are filter feeders. They eat micronutrients. They don't need teeth like most sharks do because they don't tear stuff apart. They only eat micronutrients, so it could have easily swallowed a man. Now, the Bible doesn't say where Jonah lived or died. God could have resurrected him if he had wanted to, but that was it. And then I wanted to show you what it looks like compared to a man. Here's another one. There's Jonah, actually, there swimming, and there's a whale shark. There are lots of pictures I showed you last week or in our first session of people swimming around because these guys are totally harmless to human beings. But we ended the first chapter of Jonah with this verse. Look on the screen. Now, the Lord had arranged a great fish to swallow Jonah. And now, that means he custom made. If God, you don't have a problem with this. If you believe that God created the entire universe, God created every fish in the ocean, God created every animal, God could have custom made a fish with a living room, a dinette, and air conditioning for Jonah if he'd wanted to, you know. So, you know, if you have a problem with God creating something special, you have a problem with the world. But let's go back to that verse. It said, the Lord had arranged a great fish, actually the word is ordained, to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. I heard about a little girl. She was being challenged by a skeptic, and he goes, how could God create a fish that would swallow a man? And the little girl said, well, I don't know. I'm not God. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah how God did it. And the skeptic said, well, what if Jonah didn't go to heaven? What if he went to hell? She said, then you can ask him. Now, one thing we know for sure, some people thought this story was a fable, but Jesus said, no, it actually happened. And you're doubting Jesus. Jesus said it was a true, actual story. In fact, here's what the Bible says. This is hundreds of years later. Some religious scholars who didn't believe Jesus, they didn't think he is who he claimed to be, the Son of God. Some religious scholars didn't believe Jesus, challenged him saying, we want to see you do a miracle. Now, Jesus answered, you who are faithless and you intend evil, you keep asking for miraculous proof, but the only miraculous sign I'm going to give you, you guys, will be the same sign as Jonah. Now, let me explain that. Jesus did a lot of miracles for people who believed. People who had faith in him, he rewarded their faith. He healed people. He raised the dead. He did all kinds of miracles for people who had faith. But Jesus didn't go around showing off for skeptics. He wasn't doing these signs to prove himself to people who didn't believe. And so he goes, I'm not, you just want me to show off. I'm not, the only miracle you're going to see is the same miracle as Jonah. Now here's what the rest of the verse says. For just as Jonah was in the belly of that huge fish for 3 days and nights, so I, the Son of Man, will be in a grave in the earth for 3 days and nights. Because I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to resurrect myself. That's called Easter. Then, on Judgment Day, the people of Nineveh, that's the people Jonah was sent to talk to, are going to stand up in judgment and condemnation of you living now. Why? Because when Jonah warned them, they immediately repented. They changed their ways, and they believed in God. But today, someone greater than Jonah, he's talking about himself. He's saying, today, right now with you guys, I'm standing here, someone greater than Jonah is speaking to you right now, yet you refuse to turn to God like they did. So now we move to the second part. The Jonah story has four parts. Part one, Jonah's running from God. Part two, Jonah runs back to God as he's thrown overboard, he's swallowed by this great fish, and in the depths of his despair, he prays a prayer. What does this have to do with your life mission? It shows the seven things you do when you're feeling hopeless, when the situation around you feels hopeless. Now, I hope you're not feeling that way right now. I really do. As your pastor, I hope you're not feeling hopeless. But you need to take notes, because one day you're going to need what I'm sharing with you today. One day you're going to lose a loved one. One day you're going to hear a dreaded word like cancer. One day the bottom's going to fall out in your life, and you're going to need to know, what do I do when I'm feeling hopeless? All right, if you take out your message notes, last session we looked at Jonah. He's thrown overboard and he's sinking fast into the ocean, and God prepares a great fish to swallow him up. And in chapter two, we now come to what I call what to do when it feels hopeless. Have you ever had a situation where you felt you were just swallowed up? Not by a fish, but you just felt engulfed, swallowed up by something, you go, I'm surrounded by depression. I'm surrounded by conflict. I've been swallowed up with worry or guilt or whatever. Now, what do you do when it seems hopeless? In this chapter, we have seven things to do. I hope this weekend you're not feeling hopeless. I really do. I hope you're not feeling hopeless. You're going to need this someday, so take notes. Because you will have moments in your life. You're going to lose loved ones. You're going to have failures. You're going to have moments in your life where it feels hopeless. Are you going to know what to do? The Bible tells us what to do when it feels hopeless. Number one, let's get right into it. When you hit bottom, look up to God. When you hit bottom, you look up to God. This whole chapter, chapter two, is actually a prayer. It's Jonah's prayer that he prays as he's drowning in the ocean. He's swallowed by some kind of giant fish. He doesn't know what's going on. And the entire chapter is, when I'm sinking, when I'm going down, I'm going to look up to God. I'm going to pray. That's the first verse, Jonah 2, verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Circle Jonah prayed. You know, it's funny. I was reading this today, and I was thinking, some churches have a weekly fish dinner, then a prayer meeting. In this case, after the fish had dinner, Jonah prayed. A little bit different here. How do you think Jonah felt swallowed up by this situation? Well, he immediately does the first thing on his mind. He looks up. When you're hitting bottom, you look up. He prays to God. Now, a lot of people go, well, if God plans everything out in our lives, why in the world should we pray? It's a good question. If God's planning everything out, God's in charge, God's in control, why should we even pray? And the reason why is because God, in his sovereignty and wisdom, prescribes not only the ends that he wants to see in your life, but he also prescribes the means. He prescribes the ends to his will, what he wants done, but he also prescribes the means. And God wants to involve us in his plan. And so part of his plan is to use our prayers to accomplish what he intends to do. Part of God's plan is that he intends to use our prayers to accomplish what he wants to do already. This is inviting us to be his partners. This is quite a privilege. God could do everything in the world without a single prayer. He doesn't need our prayers. But God has chosen to involve you in your own life and me in my own life and all of us in the direction of the world. And there are some things God only does if we pray. He has predicated what he wants to do on our prayers. God wants to involve us. There are some things, there are some kind of problems in life that the only way you're ever going to have those problems solved is if you learn to pray persistently about that prayer. I'm not talking about pray one time and then that's it. If you only care about something enough to pray about it once, you don't really care about it. But something that you really want to see happen in your life, you're going to pray about it over and over and over. Why does God wait to answer our prayers? He could honestly answer any prayer instantly if he wanted to, but he doesn't. He lets us pray and pray more and pray more and pray more and pray more. Why? He wants first to distinguish between what's really a real desire in your life and what's just a whim. When my kids were little and it was Christmas time, we'd go through stores. Daddy, I want this for Christmas. I want this for Christmas. I want this for Christmas. I'm not really paying attention. It's just, as soon as it's out of sight, we're in the next line, we're in the next row, they've already forgotten it. That's just a whim. I'd like this. I'd like this. Oh, I'd like this. I'd like this. It's kind of like the way I go in a candy store. But when they go, I really want this, and I keep hearing them say, Dad, I really want this for Christmas. Dad, I really want this for Christmas. Dad, I really, now I know what they really want. It's a difference between just a whim. God says, if you don't care about praying about it more than one time, you really don't care about it. You want a husband? You want a different job? You want a healing? What do you want in life? Do you care about enough to keep praying about it until God's answer? God is testing your faith. He's more interested in building your faith than he is simply answering every little prayer. God's not a slot machine where you put in the prayer and you pull it and instantly you get whatever you want. A slot machine will give you stuff that will kill you. God will never give anything that's harmful to you. But there are some kind of problems in life that are never going to be solved until you look up and you pray persistently. You can try everything else, but it's not going to budge. And God is waiting for you to pray. One time, some of Jesus' followers, the disciples, came by and they go, there was this person here who, like, he had a bad spirit in him. And we tried to pray for the guy to be healed, and he wasn't healed. Why couldn't we do that? We're kind of embarrassed. We were doing it in front of everybody. And here's what Jesus said on the screen. Matthew, Mark chapter 9, verse 28 and 29. The disciples privately asked Jesus, why couldn't we drive out that bad spirit? Jesus answered, because this kind can only be forced out by prayer. Now, what is Jesus saying here? There are some problems in your life. You can try every human solution and it's not going to work. There are some problems in your life that are so deep rooted in your past, in your parents, in your traumas, some problems that are so deep, the only way they're going to come out is by prayer. And so this is a starting point. Jonah does this thing right. This is the first thing he's done right. He's thrown overboard, and what does he do? He looks up and he immediately starts praying. God's waiting to see how persistent you are in prayer. Now, here's the second thing you do. This is what Jonah did. God wants you to do this too. When you're feeling hopeless, pray passionately. Pray passionately. I'm talking about pray with emotion. There are certain kinds of prayers God answers, and there are certain kinds of prayers God's just bored with. God is bored with the trite, memorized, mechanical, methodical, memorized prayer where you just go, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, and we have all of our little cliches, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and on. And we're not even thinking about it because we've said them so many times. There's a difference, if you know as a parent, when a child comes to you and says something that's just, they don't really mean it. But when they come and they say it passionately and they say it with emotion, I can't imagine as Jonah's dropping down in the ocean and he's getting swallowed by this fish, that he's praying, now I lay me down to sleep. I doubt he's even praying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First thing, Jesus hadn't given that to us yet. But he's not praying some memory. He's going, God, I need help right now. And he is crying out, probably shouting out. He's praying with emotion. This guy is desperate. He's frantic. God answers desperate prayers. God answers frantic prayers. God answers emotional prayers. When was the last time you got frantic with God? God hears the crisis prayer. In Jonah verse 2, we see the second thing he did, this praying passionately. Jonah said, in my distress and in my deep trouble, I cried out. Circle that. That's passionate prayer. I cried out. When was the last time you cried out to God? And I go, hi, God, how's it going? How are you doing? Hope you had a good day today. I did too. See you tomorrow. You know, over and out, 10-4, good buddy. Yeah. God gets so bored with perfunctory prayers. They're just words. They mean nothing. He says, you worship me with your lips, but not with your heart. They're just mouthing platitudes. God says, when you talk to me, I want to hear what's on your heart. I don't want you to tell me what you think you should tell me. I don't want you to tell me what you learned in some Bible school or catechism. I want you to tell me what's on your heart, and I want you to be passionate about it. I want you to be emotional. I want you to be authentic. I want you to be real. Jonah says, I cried out. That's the second thing. You don't just look up. You cry out. You look up and you cry out. You look up and you cry out. When you're in pain, when you're feeling hopeless, when you're being swallowed up by the circumstances around you. Now, there's a word for this. Crying out to God in the Bible is the word called lamenting. lamenting. A crying out to God is called a lament. A lament is a synonym for a complaint. You say, wait a minute, it's okay to complain to God? Of course it's okay to complain to God. God wants you to complain to him because he loves you. He's interested in every detail of your life. Yes, it's okay to complain to God. God, I don't like this. This is terrible. This is not right. This is not fair. That's called lamenting. And did you know that in the book of Psalms, which are personal prayers to God, there are 150 of those. They're not all praise. They're not all sunshiny, happy, clappy, the sun will come out tomorrow kind of thing. One third of the Psalms of the Bible, 100 of the 150, 50 of them are complaints. 50 of them are laments, going, God, this is not fair. God, you lied to me. God, this stinks. God, that's called lamenting. Now, the best books on lamenting in the Bible are the book of Job, the book of Lamentations, which are the laments of Jeremiah. He was the complaining prophet. Lamentations, Job, and the book of Psalms. And David laments. They cry out. There's an entire book of the Bible full of complaints. It's called Lamentations. So yes, it's okay for you to complain to God because God cares about your laments. God cares about the pain that you have. You know, he far would rather have you complain than for you to say some little polite prayer that you memorized. He doesn't care about that. He wants to know what's on your heart. I could give you example after example how God answers the prayers of people in pain when they pray passionately. Good example would be Hannah. Hannah, all of her life, had wanted to have a baby, but she was infertile. She couldn't have a child. And she prays this prayer. Look up here on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 1, by the way, Samuel ended up being her son that was the answer to this prayer, who became a very famous prophet. 1 Samuel chapter 1, so he's telling this story about his mom. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. I've wanted to have a baby, and I haven't had a baby. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. She's lamenting, and she made this vow. Oh Lord Almighty, if you will look down upon my sorrow and you'll answer my prayer and you'll give me a son, then I will give him back to you and he will be yours for his entire lifetime. And she did. And that boy grew up to be the Samuel of 1 Samuel. This is the prophet who ordained the first king of Israel, Saul, ordained David. He wrote 1 and 2 Samuel in the Bible. This was Hannah's son. She's crying out bitterly. God hears her prayer. So when you're in trouble and you're feeling hopeless, the first thing you do is you look up. You look up to God, you pray. Second thing you do is you pray passionately. You don't just say, oh God, I'd kind of like to have this. You cry out to God. This is what Jonah's doing. He's not praying perfunctory prayers. This is no polite request. This is a gut-wrenching prayer. So if you don't get anything else I tell you, I want you to get this. It really doesn't matter where you pray. You know, a lot of people think they have to go into a church and kneel down to pray. God doesn't care where you pray. Peter prayed while he's sinking in the water, and all kinds of people prayed in wars and battles and all kinds. It doesn't matter where you pray. What matters is your heart when you're praying.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. You know, I know that you would love to live a life of significance. But have you ever wondered if you could make a contribution so unique that no one else in all the world could do what you've accomplished? Well, you need to stop wondering, because God created you to make a difference in the world. He created you to fulfill a mission that only you can accomplish. I know you may be thinking that God couldn't use you like that, but you know what? He can. And not only can he, but he will. It really doesn't matter what you've done or what you've failed to do. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. It is never too early or too late to start on the mission that God has planned for you. And that's why I'm so excited to let you know about a brand new Bible study from Pastor Rick called Rising to God's Call, A Journey Through Jonah. In this study, Rick is going to show you how God had an incredible mission for Jonah. And it went well beyond being swallowed by a big fish. Jonah's story is really about second chances and redemption and the rescue of an entire nation. And more importantly, it's the story of God, the one who shows grace to everyone he created. You know, the story of Jonah is really like a blueprint from God. It shows all of us how he can use you to do significant things, no matter where you are in life right now. And just like Jonah, you're going to find that pursuing God's mission for your life is the greatest adventure that you will ever go on. And we're going to send you Pastor Rick's brand new Bible study, Rising to God's Call, A Journey Through Jonah, to say thank you for your gift to Daily Hope, because it helps us share the life-transforming Word of God with the world. Just go to PastorRick.com or just text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 to get this great resource. That's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people all around the world. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.